الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers and also our sisters listening over the receivers As I mentioned last week that Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself on the eve of Ramadan, he addressed the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in and he gave them some nasihat, some advices in the lengthy hadith which is reported by Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then we have many, many other ahadith sayings of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or teachings of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the month of Ramadan. So therefore we should not feel that these are things which we have heard from the time that we were born. So what is the need to repeat those ahadiths? What is the need to repeat those ayat of the Quran Sharif? We have to look at our own lives, look at our own actions, look at our own deeds, and then also look at our knowledge of whatever we did listen over the past years. How much do we remember of that? And if we do remember, then how much of it are we practicing upon? So these are sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which are being fulfilled, that the people are being informed of what Ramadan Sharif is. Because Ramadan is not just staying away from food and drink. We take it for granted that that is Ramadan. Stay away from food, stay away from drink, from carnal passions and desires, and finish. That is our fast. But that is not the meaning of fast. That lots of other people are doing also. When it comes to staying away from food and drink, how many people who are on diet, how many women folk and others who are trying to lose weight, they're staying away from food and drink of different kinds. Then many other nations and communities, they also have some kind of fast. And for a certain period of time, they stay away from food. Although most of those others who fast, I don't know whether we could call it a fast because you can eat everything else besides meat and fish. So that kind of fast we can keep all the year round too. So we should understand that the Quran Sharif which is being recited in the Salat of Taraweeh, the whole Quran Sharif is going to be recited. All the khatams that people are making around the world of the Quran Sharif. Now all those things are mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Repeatedly we are reading the same thing. Now will we say that because we read those ayat of the Quran Sharif once, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ establish your salat and give your zakat. So now we heard it when we were born and 3-4 years of age, at that time we heard, establish salat, give zakat. So therefore remove all those ayat from the Quran Sharif now because we already read it once. And I do give my zakat and I do make my namaz 5 times a day. So what is the need now to read those ayat of the Quran Sharif in which there is mention of namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. I have made hajj upon hajj, umrahs upon umrahs, so remove all those ayat from the Quran Sharif of hajj and umrahs. I have been very honest in my trade and in my dealing, so therefore remove those ayat. I am practicing upon the teachings of the Quran Sharif with regards to wife and children, so remove those ayat. So what will be left of the Quran Sharif then? So just as we are reading the Quran Sharif all the time, and it has to be read all the time, and all those ayat and verses have to be read, we cannot say that from the Quran Sharif we are going to delete or remove those ayat and those verses upon which we are practicing. In the same way the ahadith, the teachings of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, they will remain till the day of Qiyamah. The muhaddithin have done us a great favor that they have sifted which are the authentic ahadith, which are the weak ones, where is the narrator guilty of some kind of weakness, therefore they did not accept his hadith. and which ahadith are fabricated, because there was a whole group that was fabricating ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So they did us a favor that they removed or they sifted out, they informed us of what is sahih and what is za'if and what is mawzu. So this month of Ramadan, we have to then listen to what are the virtues of Ramadan and what we should be stay away from, so that our fasts give us those benefits which they are intended to give to us. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif that the purpose of fasting is la'allakum tattaqoon. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whosoever has taqwa in his life, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will definitely find a way out for him in his problems, in his difficulties. Whatever his hardship, whatever his trials and tests, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will find a way out. It doesn't say he is not going to be tested. The great Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, they were tested. The greatest of all Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he was tested. His companions were tested. Hazrat Abu Bakr was tested. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman Ghani, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala were tested. So much so that in Karbala, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala lost his life. He became shaheed, he became martyred, which we all know of. Now what kind of test, that with that small group of people they are surrounded by enemies, and who is he, the grandson of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wives of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were tested. The daughters of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were tested. If you have to just read the incidents of tests in their lives, it makes our hair stand on end. And who were these people that were being tested? Were they sinful ones like us? They were not sinful ones like us. They were tested in spite of their piety, to show to the world that these are my true servants, these are my true slaves, that they are prepared to give their lives, but they are not prepared to disobey me. That is what Allah Ta'ala wanted to show to the world, and to set a pattern and an example for all of us till the day of Qiyamah, that we just fall for little temptations, a little temptation and we fall for it. If the nafs desires that we must watch some haram on the internet site, then we fall for it. How many letters I get from around the world, from Australia, England, America and other places, young students and many others, elders also, and some of them are learned scholars also, and they are writing the same thing, that we just can't resist the temptation. We go to see some site which is halal, which is permissible to see, or articles which are permissible to read, or we go to do some work on the internet site which we have to do because we are accountants, we are teachers, doctors, lawyers, or whatever we may be, or sometimes ulama and muftis and qaris also, and hajis also, and students of deen also. But they say when we go onto the site, suddenly we are hooked, and nafs and shaitan tempts us, and then after that we regret whatever we were doing, but the thing is that we get caught. So that is our state of affairs, that we are so weak that we fall for all kinds of temptations. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is showing to us by testing these great people, that great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and others were tested. And see how they withstood those tests. They were very severe kind of tests that came upon them. It was not just to give up some sin or something like that. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were all masoom, they were sinless. So what kind of test was there? It was not just give up any alcohol and give up gambling and give up drinking and give up fornication and adultery. That was not their test. And now for us, how simple Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it. But we know that in spite of our fasting throughout the ages, and from the time we became of age, or in fact long before that, because even little children are made to fast, and little children also sometimes enjoy fasting, and especially if you give them some incentive, then they will keep all the fasts of Ramadan. Although that is not desirable, that sometimes it is not within the child's capacity to keep fast. The child is weak, the child is sick, the child is suffering from some kind of ailment, and the parents are giving incentive while the child is only 5 and 6 to keep all the fast, and they think that they have done a great favor upon the child, and the child is keeping it because it wants those few rands, or if it wants some gift that we have promised. So when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it easy even for those people who are genuinely sick, that they can forego the fast in Ramadan and keep it after Ramadan if they are sick, and if they cannot even keep after Ramadan because the sickness is of a nature where the medication is also not helping, and they are forced to take that medication during the day, then they can give fidya. So when Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for them, then what about those little children on whom roza is not even farz? But of course, as I said, that it must be genuine sickness. It must not be that the person all the year round is very fit and healthy. But when it comes to the month of Ramadan, then suddenly all the sicknesses, they come to the surface. Just before Ramadan, day before Ramadan, then the person has got such kind of sicknesses and diseases and illnesses that he cannot do without that medication. So now that Allah Ta'ala knows who is genuinely sick and who is not sick. We cannot fool Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must look at, therefore we say, must keep on reading the rewards of fasting and what Allah Ta'ala has kept in fasting. If we read it, we listen to it repeatedly, especially in the month of Ramadan, then it increases not only the rewards, but it increases our enjoyment of that fast. We truly look forward to that fast. We don't just wait the moon of Eid. There are some people, they don't even fast, but they wait for the moon of Eid. There was one person, he was not fasting. So they told him, why didn't you keep fast? So he found all kinds of excuses. And then when he came to iftar, he was the first one on the dastarkhan. So they said, but you are not fasting, but you are the first one on the dastarkhan for iftar. He said, must I commit two sins? If I didn't fast, must I also not have iftar? So why should I commit double sin? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the ahadith, have given us so much of virtues of taqwa. One hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because Jummah time is limited. But in the light of this hadith sharif, we must see what is our actions. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that salasatun la turaddu da'watuhum as-sa'im hatta yuftir. There are three people whose du'as are not rejected. Their du'as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not reject. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who is as-sadiq al-ameen, he is informing us that if you want an acceptance of your du'a, then there is an opportunity. There are three kinds of people, three categories of people whose du'as are never rejected. One is that person who is fasting until he opens his fast. Now this is a very, very clear indication that the fasting person is so close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala listens to his du'as. Therefore, those mothers who are in the habit of cursing the children, or fathers who are in the habit of cursing the children, or anybody else who is in the habit of cursing, that any little mistake, any little error they do, may your head smash against the wall, may you crash, or may your car crash, or may you die a terrible death, and the all kinds of curses mothers and fathers are giving to their children, because some of those children have become like that. They become a pain in the neck for the parents. Of course, the parents must see themselves, what role did they play in the upbringing of that child? Did they give the child an environment in the home that was conducive to practicing upon Islam, Sharia, Quran and Sunnah? Did they teach the child what was deen, what was the adab and respect of parents? Did they teach them that? Did they become a role model for those children? Did they behave in that manner with their parents? Now all those things we have to check ourselves. But those children whose their fathers and mothers tried their level best to give them the proper environment, to give them proper education, to give them proper upbringing, but still as a test that child became a pain in the neck, he's gone on to drinks and drugs and other kinds of vices and evils. Even then the parents should not be cursing, especially in this month of Ramadan. For we just don't know which moment in time the dua is going to be accepted. Then we will regret even more. I always say, when the person is angry over a child, then instead of cursing the child, say, may Allah give you hidayat. Scream at the top of your voice if you wish to at that child and say, may Allah give you hidayat. So if it is accepted, then what will be accepted? It will be accepted that the child will get hidayat and guidance. The child will get piety and taqwa. The child will start respecting and be obedient instead of cursing and instead of destroying the child forever. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the dua of a fasting person is accepted until he opens the fast. It means the doors of dua are open. Now we must keep on begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, stay away from sins and beg of Allah ta'ala, the dua will be accepted. But then, as I mentioned this morning in the Fajr talk, that it does not mean that we will get exactly what we have asked for. Sometimes we will get what we have asked for, sometimes we will get something better. Sometimes Allah will remove some difficulty, some problem, some bala that was coming, and we do not even know that it was coming. Or sometimes Allah will store it for the hereafter. But the person's dua is accepted. So he must never feel disappointed. So that is the first category of people. Those who are fasting until iftar time, the doors are open for duas and acceptance of duas. And the angels who are holding the arsh, they are told, leave all other work and now make ameen on the duas of the people who are fasting. Very quickly, the next point. Your car is blocking, please go and remove your car. 419-718. 419-718. Then Imam who is Adil, Al-Imamul Adil, the just ruler, the just Imam. I have mentioned this and explained many times that from this we learn that the person who is just and fair, even though he becomes a king, even though that person may become the ruler of the land, even though he may be ruling over kingdoms, it doesn't prevent the person from making such kind of progress. It does not mean if you accept Islam and if you obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we cannot make any progress in this world. We will say that the highest seat in the world is that of a king. So now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that if the person is adil, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying if the person is an adil, just ruler, then his duas are accepted. He will get shade under the throne of Allah ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. But the condition is that he must be adil. He must be a believer in Allah ta'ala and he must mete out justice. He must not be unfair, unjust and cruel. He must not oppress, he must not tyrannize. Then the third part of it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَدَعْوَةُ الْمَظْلُومِ يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَوْقَ الْغَمَامِ وَيُفْتَهُ لَهَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَيَقُولُ الرَّبُّ وَعِزَّتِي لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينٍ. It is very, very frightening, but at the same time, very encouraging. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the da'wat or the dua of the mazloom, the person who is being suppressed, who is being oppressed, the person against whom injustices are being done, great amount of injustice is being done upon this person. Now there is wide meaning of zulm and other things, I'm not going into that. But in the context of this hadith sharif, that if a person injustice is being done to him, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this person's dua, Allah ta'ala raises above the clouds. And the doors of heaven are open for this dua. In the others we were just told that Allah ta'ala accepts the dua of the fasting person. Allah ta'ala accepts the dua of the person who is Imam Adil. But here look at the explanation that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving. He says that the dua of the person against whom injustice is done, then that dua is raised above the clouds. The heavens are opened. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I will definitely assist you. Allah ta'ala takes qasam. He says I take qasam upon my honor that I will definitely assist you. La ansurannaka. Ask those who know Arabic what ansurannaka means. Noon taqid wa noon taqid and all those. So here is Allah Ta'ala is promising that definitely I will assist you, even though it may be after a little while. Which means that it is not necessary that if we committed some injustice upon somebody now, then within 2 seconds we are going to see the effect of that injustice. But don't break the hearts of people with injustice and with oppression and with zulm and with tyranny. Whether it is the wife, whether it is the child, whether it is the husband, whether it is the parents, whether it's our friends, or whether it is any member of our society, but don't let any kind of injustice prevail in our lives. If we are going to be unjust, and the person is deeply hurt because of our injustice, whilst the person is an employee of ours, we are doing injustice. Or we are in the employment of someone, we are doing injustice to him. Or the child is unjust to the parents, or parents unjust to the children, or husbands to wife, wives to husband. Every home at present, there's so much of injustice. If we have to just look at this word injustice or zulm, There is so much of injustices. At that time we don't even feel or we guilty, and we don't want to humble ourselves and say, all right, it's a month of Ramadan now, I'm very, very sorry for all the injustices that I have done. As from now on, I promise not to be unjust or unfair. We don't want to do that too. We feel it lowers our dignity. But then what does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say? And can anybody say that Allah Ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is speaking a lie? And he's saying again that Allah Ta'ala is taking a qasam in his own honor. And if Allah Ta'ala is taking a qasam and saying that I will definitely assist you, then we must believe that it is true. Therefore, lots of things that happen to us in our lifetimes, if we have to ponder and reflect and look deep into all those things that are happening to us, we will find that it is nothing but a reaction of what we had done in our lives. The injustices that we had shown to others, so then it boomerangs, it comes back onto us sometime in our life. For some people it is a test what they are going through. Many people are crying that their daughters are suffering, their daughters are being oppressed, their daughters are, you know, injustice is being done to them. But they don't realize that their own wives, what did they do to them? All the injustices that they did to their wives, now they have to hold their heads and cry when their daughters are going through it. Now we will say that why those daughters must suffer when they were innocent. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very fair and very just. For some of them, as I said, it could be a test. But for others it could be that they are being punished for some other sins of theirs. So there's no injustice from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's side. But if we have to look at injustices in our homes, in our businesses, look at the treatment that we give to people that are our subordinates and over whom we are in authority, that we really believe that we are Allah, we are Lord Supreme. So therefore we must be very careful what we do to others. If we are going to be unjust, there are so many people, and I have no hesitation in saying this, there are so many people, they are crying. They say, we can't do without this job because it is our livelihood. Where do we go? But our family life is totally destroyed. Our social life is destroyed. We are made to work 7 to 7, 7 days a week. Now if this is not injustice, then what is it? The hearts of the people are crying. Even in this month of Ramadan, so many people are prevented from making the Zuhr Salat and Asr Salat. Now is that injustice or not? So then if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends some bala and some calamity and some disaster, then who do we blame for that? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that when the heart of the unjust person is going to cry, or that is the mafhum, that when that person from deep down his heart, he is going to make baddua and he is going to curse, he is going to make a dua that, Ya Allah, I am suffering, help me, assist me. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes qasam in his name that I will definitely help you, I will most certainly help you, even though it may be after a little while. All the countries of the world also, where there are plenty of injustices, whether it was upon the non-Muslims, disbelievers, kuffar, or anybody. But when injustice comes from the top level, Allah Ta'ala topples that government. Kuffar can survive in a land, but injustice cannot survive. After some time there will be a revolution, there will be a coup d'etat, there will be something that will happen, and those people who were suffering, persecuted, tortured, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will bring them up and put them into government. And when they are going to do the same thing, then another group will arise and they will topple them, and it will carry on until you get somebody who is just and fair. Then it will survive for a long, long time. So let us take lessons from these ahadith. It is not just fasting in Ramadan. All these things we have to start improving on. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problem of mankind, and especially the ummah of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.